North Rock Podcast.
Well, we've been talking about freedom. We're in a series on freedom. And again, I say this every week, that if you miss a week, go and listen to the podcast on northrockchurch.com and catch up, because every week is a piece of this puzzle. And as we put these all together, by the end of March, I believe we have a really, really wonderful picture of what freedom in Christ looks like. God designed us to be free people. Unfortunately, we live in a world where there's bondage, where there's slavery, where there is things that take us captive. And so that's why Jesus was sent to this world. Jesus says, "I have come to set the captives free, to liberate those that are in bondage." And so we've been talking about freedom because it's such a big issue that the Bible talks about. You ever heard of the term born again? Many of you have heard of that. Many of you in this room, if not all of us, are born again. And when you become a Christian, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you become a new person. In essence, you become born again. The Bible describes it as being reborn, reborn to be different, reborn to be free in this world. We're born again, and when we're born again, what happens is we're let out of the cage. We experience freedom, and we're free from this world. And that's what I want to talk about today, is being free from this world. This world has its way of getting its hooks on us and pulling us down and holding us back and holding us in bondage. The reason we talk about this is because the Bible talks about this world as not being our home. Do you know that? This world is not your home. You don't belong here. You're just passing through. You do see that, right? You do know that this is a temporary thing that we're doing here on this earth. In the eyes of eternity, we're going through this world. We get to be a part of this world. God has a purpose for us being a part of this world. Definitely we're here for a reason, but the reality and the fact is that this isn't our home. So don't get too comfortable here on this earth. Don't get to love this earth while you're here, because it's not going to go with you for eternity. And that's what I want to talk about today. Listen to what Scripture says about this. In John 15:19, it says, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 2:11. "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your souls." Did you just get called an alien? Yes. Did you just get called a stranger? Yes, the Bible calls you an alien and a stranger, because why? Because this world is not your home. You're just here. You're just visiting. You're just saying, "Take me to your leader while I'm here, and I'm not going to be here long. I'm here on a mission." You guys like the alien movies? I don't like them a whole lot, because my brain can't get wrapped around the fact that there's aliens on our planet. And I always just picture it a different way. That's probably why I have a problem with alien movies. I just think it should happen differently. So anyways, I'll maybe make an alien movie someday. Paul wrote this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of" what? "Of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." John wrote to the Christians of his day, says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world," now this is pretty serious stuff here. "If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And this word love, when the Bible talks about this word love, it's a serious kind of love. It's not "I love cheeseburgers." It's not "I love this movie" or "I love the meal that I ate last night." It's a real deal kind of love. And the Bible talks about that when we get to that real deal kind of place of love to this world, that it's almost impossible, if not impossible, then to still love God. And we talked about this, I believe it was last week, that you cannot love two masters. You're either going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to hate one and despise the other. And so we see here that it's so clear in the Bible that we are not to get attached here in this world, that we are to live free from this world. So the question is, if that's true, if we don't belong here, if we're aliens and strangers to this world, if it's true that God doesn't want us to conform or to love this world, then why would we? Why would we want to belong to this world? Why would we love it? And the answer is, it's because it's all we've ever known. We're used to it. This is what we've known. And oftentimes, even if something isn't good, we love it because it's all we know. I used to dog sit, actually house sit, a house in Kansas when I lived in Salina, Kansas. And they had this weird dog that lived in this giant cage. And so these people never should have owned a dog. You know those people that just should never own a dog? They're not dog people. So the only reason they got a dog is because they had a little girl. And the little girl wanted a puppy, right? And so sometimes the little girl gets what they want. So the little girl got a puppy. It was a little Cocker Spaniel. And this dog, they didn't know what to do with the dog, so they just put it in this cage all the time. And this dog never came out of its cage. And it was so weird because I would go over to their house to house sit, and I would try to let this dog out and, like, teach it about freedom. And so I'd open the door. I'm like, come on, you're free, run. And the dog would just sit in the cage. And it would never come out of the cage. The only time the dog would come out of the cage, true story, is when it heard the sliding glass door open. And it would run outside, use the restroom, run inside, and right back into this cage. And I think what happened is, at an early age, this dog got accustomed to slavery, to being bound, to being captive in this cage, to where it didn't even know what freedom looked like. I've heard another story of, and many of you maybe have heard this story, some of you maybe have heard this story, but of elephants, that when elephants are babies, they get tied up so that they won't run away. And these are elephants that aren't in the wild, so they're taken from the wild where they're meant to be, where they're free, right? Again, this is a picture of what happens in this world. So what happens is these elephants are captured, these baby elephants, and they're tied up to these posts. Now, these posts that they're tied up to and the rope that they use is only strong enough to hold a baby elephant. But that's all they need, and here's why. Baby elephants will struggle, but after a while, they realize they're not going to get away. So what they do is they give up and they say, well, I guess I'm going to be captive here. And so I guess I can't get away. This rope is too strong. Well, what happens is these elephants grow full size, massive elephants. And if they wanted to, it would be the easiest thing for them to run away. But in their minds, they're still captive, even though it's just this little rope that held them when they were babies. Listen, this is the nature of what happens to us as humans in this world. We're so easily taken into captivity. We're so easily taken into bondage. When Jesus saved us, now listen to me. When Jesus saved us, he called us out of our cages. When he saved us, when he died on the cross and he rose again, he did it for our freedom. He calls us out of our cage. He calls us to live a different kind of life. He calls us to freedom. He calls us to a wild, a free kind of life. And when I say wild, I'm not talking about la vida loca kind of wild. All right? I'm talking about wild in the sense of an elephant in the wild, an animal in the wild. Why are they in the wild? Because that's their home. That's where they live. That's where they're free. But only when we're taken into captivity, we're taken out of the wild into a place where we're not ourselves anymore. We're not meant to be in that place of captivity, in that place of bondage. Last week we talked about Matthew chapter 6. It talks about the birds of the air. It says, look at the birds of the air. And this is such a beautiful picture of the wild that we are to live in. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? A couple of verses later, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? It's Matthew chapter 6, 28 through 30. Jesus speaks of the birds without cages, the flowers without flower boxes. These are wild things. They're out in the wild, and yet they survive. In fact, God makes them survive. Jesus is saying to us, don't be domesticated by this world. Don't conform to this world. Don't fall in love with this world. Now, I think that many of us at this point might be thinking, well, I don't love this world. But let me ask you the question, and I ask this question myself too. Does your life reflect a love for the eternal, or does your life reflect a love for the things of this world? And listen, I'll be honest. I ask myself that question a lot of times, like, man, I'm storing my treasures up here on earth, and I'm looking for things of this world way too much. You know what happens? The reason why God warns us, the reason why Jesus says not to do that, is because it divides our heart. How many of you know God doesn't want a divided heart? He wants an undivided heart that's fully 100% given to him. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Don't store up treasures on earth. It's a trap. It's a cage. It will easily control you and enslave you. Listen, I know far too many people that lay up treasures here on earth. Far too many times we look for the things of this earth. We want to be like the person down the street. We compare ourselves to people, don't we? We want not just stuff, but we want to look like someone else. We want to be like someone else. We want these things. We're prone as humans to store up treasures here on earth. And the problem isn't so much that we have those things. It's that we get to feeling that we have to have those things in order to be happy. And once we get to that point, it's all about how much money we need to possess those things and how much money we have to maintain those things. And after a while, I don't possess those things. They possess me. These possessions and the things that they demand of me become my cage, become what I'm bound by. And I hope that you're sitting there and you're saying, yeah, you know, I can see that in my life, because I think it happens with all of us. I was reminded of the story of the nation of Israel coming out of slavery from Egypt. You guys know that story? You've seen the movie, at least, or the cartoon where God picks Moses, right? A guy that should have never been picked. I mean, to begin with, this guy can't even talk right. Like, he stutters and he can barely talk. He's like, hey, you're going to lead millions of people out of slavery into freedom. And so he uses this man, and the whole purpose is God sees these people, his chosen people, and he says, I don't want them to be slaves anymore. I want them to be free. And so where does he take them? He takes them out into the wilderness. Well, the first four letters of wilderness is wild. So he takes them out into the wilderness, right? He takes them out. And you know what's interesting is a lot of times when we hear the word wilderness, we think, oh, that's such an awful place. Well, is it awful, or is it a place maybe of more freedom than we even think? Because in the wilderness, and I've thought that before. I've thought, God, why didn't you just skip the whole wilderness and just go straight to the promised land? How many of you have ever wondered that? It's like, good grief, God, I would complain too. You're out in the wilderness, you're eating manna. But the interesting thing is that he took them to the wilderness because They're aliens in the wilderness, right? That's not their home. That's their temporary home on their way to where? To the promised land. Does that sound like anyone else we know? Where are we? We are in the wilderness. We're on our way to the promised land. In the meantime, why are you in the wilderness? You're in the wilderness because there's not a lot around you. And what do you have to trust in? Who do you have to trust in? You have to trust in God. And when you put your trust in God, he takes care of everything you need. While they were in the wilderness, they had manna that fell from heaven. And you know, the first time they probably saw that, they're like, cool. There's food falling from heaven. And they're like, And they're probably just thinking it's the greatest thing in the world, right? But they're human beings, aren't they? So after a while, what happens? They start to complain. Even though God is taking care of everything. In fact, when they were thirsty, he led them to water. And a couple of times, Moses struck a rock. And God caused water to flow sufficiently to supply water for over 1 million people. So not only is he taking care of all their needs, but all this cool stuff is happening. Like the ocean is parting and they're walking through. I mean, come on. Like, this is cool stuff. What was he doing by taking them into the wilderness? Here's what I believe he was doing. He wanted them to divorce themselves from the world so that they would learn to cling to him. He was trying to break up their marriage. Trying to break up their marriage to this, to the worldly things that they were so accustomed to. I believe God wants with every one of us to break up our marriage to this world. That's what he wants to do. We get so attached to the things of this world, and God wants to come and he wants to break it up. He wants to be the one that we look to. He wants to be the only one that our devotion, that our love, that our adoration is going to. But so often our love, our adoration, our devotion is to things of this world. And God knows that that's not a way to walk in freedom. He wanted them to learn that he was all they need and that he would meet all of their needs. So here they are. They're freed from their cages. They're being led to this wondrous new home. They are seeing all these miracles happen. They're marching towards a promised land where it says the land is going to flow with milk and honey. This is going to be this incredible place. And what do? We see in this story what happens is they get homesick for Egypt. You're thinking, homesick for Egypt? That's the place where they're beaten. That's the place where they're slaves. That's the place where they're taken advantage of. That's a place where they're oppressed and everybody looks down on them because they are different from the people that rule that nation. Why would they ever want to go back there? Why would they ever want to go back to slavery? Let me ask us that same question. Why do we ever want to go back to the things that hold us and have held us? The hurts, the habits, the hang-ups. When God says, I've brought you out into the wilderness to take you away from those things, and I want you to be free. And how, like we talked last week, how are you free? You're free when you're dependent on me. That's when you're truly free. I'm going to finish here soon. I got all these notes. I wrote in really big font, so I have all these pages. It looks like I got a ton of notes, but it's just big font. I don't know what happened. I think we always have to be warned and we have to remind ourselves that we're not that much different than those people. And that's why the Bible repeatedly warns us to not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. To not love the world or anything in this world. God repeatedly warns us that we were born to be wild, born to be free, born to live a life where we're free from what people think about us, we're free from what people put on us, we're free from the slavery that comes from giving our hearts and our lives and our adoration to the things of this world. We live in a wilderness, but we're on our way to the promised land. We're strangers and we're aliens in this land, so we can't and we mustn't get too comfortable. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up, but they're not to be laid up here. Let me ask you just a couple questions here as we close. And these are questions that we can ask ourselves on a daily basis. And this has been very helpful for me, and I hope it's helpful for you. When you're faced with something, a decision or something in this life, ask the question, is this temporary or is this eternal? If it's temporary, I'm not going to give my heart to it. But if it's eternal, I will. Am I renting or buying? You know what I mean by that? I think of different trips that I've been on, and I find something that's just awesome, and you want to buy it, but you can't because you know you're not going to be able to get it back on the airplane. Remember in Thailand, there was this giant elephant that I wanted to buy. Had like this cool lid on it, and you pick it up, and there's like a place to put stuff in there. I was like, this thing is so cool. But I couldn't do anything with it. Why? Because I wasn't able to take it with me. Ask yourself the question when you're walking through life. Yeah, this may be really cool and it's going to be awesome for a couple days or whatever, but can I take it with me? Next question is, does this bring me life? If it doesn't bring you life, then walk away from it. You're not going to experience freedom from that. And the final question is, if I follow after this, whatever it is, am I still following Jesus? And I believe you'll get the answer to that. Because Jesus is walking one direction. It says we're to be followers of Jesus, right? We're to be following Jesus, and he's going towards his Father. And so when we're encountered with things of this world, we can ask the question, if I pursue this, does it take me off of my course that I'm on in following Jesus? Does that take me this way, or does that take me this way? And if it does, then there's your answer. You see, again, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. And our key verse for this series is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Spirit of God lives inside of you to lead you into all freedom, to lead you into all truth. We are called and we were designed to be free. Let me read this story as we close, and then we're going to end close in prayer. It's a story I read about Abraham Lincoln. Story tells of a time when he was passing through a given town as an auction was being held. On the auction block was an African woman in chains being offered for sale. This sight angered Lincoln, and as the auction commenced, he found himself bidding for her. The bidding went back and forth until finally he had purchased her. They brought her over to him, and he instructed them to take the shackles off her wrists and ankles. Then he said to her, "You are free to go." She looked at him and said, "You mean I don't have to go home with you?" He said, "No, you don't." She said, "You mean that I don't have to do what you tell me to do or say what you tell me to say?" "That's right." "You mean I don't have to be your slave? I don't have to put up with your whims and your fancies?" He said, "No, ma'am, you don't. You're free to go." She bowed her head and tears started. She bowed her head and tears started flowing down her cheeks. She looked up at Abraham Lincoln and said, "Then I guess I'll go with you." Jesus freed each one of us so that we could make the choice to follow him. Because it's only in following Jesus that we find true freedom from the chains of this life. Don't love this world. One of the prayers that I pray often is, "God, give me your desires. Give me your desires." Because on my own, I find myself desiring the wrong things. I find myself desiring things that don't bring life. I don't trust myself, if I can be honest with you all. I don't trust myself, but I do trust God. I do trust the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. And when I prayers, and it's a dangerous prayer to pray, to say, God, give me your desire. Do you know that that's dangerous? Because God's desires are wild and awesome. But at first, we may not be accustomed to them. Because we're so used to what? We're so used to our cage, where we have control and we do what we want to do because we're safe in there. Or at least we think we are. Would you stand with me as we close tonight? I just felt like tonight that we're not going to do a song at the end, or we're not going to continue, other than I just want to pray over you. And then I want to just invite you, if any of you just want to stick around, we're going to put some music on, and you can just sit in here and just spend some time just in prayer. And what I would encourage the prayer to be, you can pray whatever you want. You can talk to God. But that you would say, God, give me your desires. Cause me to hate this world, but to love you. And I'm not talking about hate people in this world. I'm talking about hating this world and the pull and the draw that it has on humanity. I watch the news, and I'm so grieved a lot of times. I look at it, and I'm like, why would I ever love this world? It's so full of darkness and disappointment. When I have a God who sent the light of the world into this darkness, and I can love him and not this world. Pray that prayer. God, give me your desires, not my own. That your spirit that lives inside of me would be the driving force in my life. God, do that inside each one of us. Lord, help us to hate this world and love the things of you, God. Help us to not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. God, help us to not set our things on the things that are here, that are temporary, Lord, but to set our minds on those things that are eternal. Lord, knowing that that brings us freedom. That brings us hope. That brings us life. We thank you. We give you praise, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.